Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we're studying together the 11th chapter of the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthian church. And in our last lesson, we touched on the communion service, or the Lord's table, whatever you want to call it. From verse 23 down to the end of the chapter of chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. And I would like to read again these precious verses. But before I do so, I would like to suggest again, and I'm repeating what I've said before, if there's any service in the Christian church where we really get down and worship the Lord, or where we should worship the Lord, it's at the Lord's table. It is the only thing the Lord ever asked us to remember. Remember Him. Do this in remembrance of me, of me. Christ must be the center of your worship. And as we shall see later on, a great many of God's people could be suffering. And some saints die prematurely because when they come to the Lord's table, they're not coming as worshipers. Just a mere, what shall I say, a mere rite to go through, a mere ordinance. May I suggest, this is not an ordinance. This is a memorial. Let me read it. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, let a man prove himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. And if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And then he goes on to say, if you're hungry, go home and eat. We're discussing this in our last lesson. Now I'm going to repeat again what I've said, because I believe we are dealing with one of the most, what shall I say, sacred things in the Word of God for Christians. The only time the Lord Jesus ever said, do anything in remembrance of me. Now I remember, of course, in 1 Peter chapter 2, where he left us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but left all things to him who judgeth righteously. That's true, but a memorial, no. And this is one of the, this ought to be the center of the worship of God's people. We gather around him to remember his death till he came. Now we were saying in closing up in our last lesson, this verse 24 and 25, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And I mentioned the fact of Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20 and 21, where it speaks of the fact that we have access into his presence because of the rent veil. The veil, that is to say, his body was broken for us. And when we took the cup, or when we take the cup, we remember the fact that he bought us for himself with his own precious blood, as Acts 20, 20:28 declares, you remember, the Lord purchased us with his own blood. We were redeemed, forgiven every sin, declared righteous by God himself on the ground of the shed blood of Christ, which you find, you remember, in Romans 5:9, much more being declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we've been dealing with the two things, the bread which speaks of his body, the death of our Savior for us, and the wine which speaks of the blood that was shed for us. But you notice in 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now there's no specified time given, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. And we are to do it until we sit down with the Lord Jesus in his kingdom. Now there are some people who have the breaking of bread every week, every Lord's Day morning. That's perfectly scriptural. Some have it every month. That's not unscriptural at all. Some have it every 3 months. The Word of God says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. I must say this, because it's true that too often among God's people, the breaking of bread, the coming to the Lord's table, becomes a mere rite, a mere ordinance. Oh, the seriousness of this thing. We come into the presence of the Savior. If there's any time when we come into the presence of our Lord to worship him, it's at the Lord's table. To come with reverence. To come with our hearts open to him. To come as worshippers. Do you remember in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus said to this woman, when she said, where can I worship God? Where in the world can a poor woman go? To Jerusalem or to this mountain? Jesus said, woman, the hour is coming and now is. That they that worship God shall worship him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking worshippers. I know that most of us hold back sometimes on this question of service. And we excuse ourselves for not doing things for God because we say we haven't the gifts. Well, we'll see about that in our next lesson or two in chapters 12 and 13 and 14 of Corinthians. But my friend, if you love the Savior, you come to his table not to serve but to worship. And we come because we remember what he has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we remember, too, that we've been made one in Christ. There's just one church. And we come as local assembly. We come to our local assembly and we worship him. He must be the object not only of our faith, but of our love and of our devotion and our worship. We come to magnify him. No specified time. As often as you eat this bread. May I give a personal testimony here? I had only been saved about 3 or 4 weeks. I knew nothing of the church so much as such. I knew very little of the Bible. And the Lord Jesus, in his wonderful grace, saved me. And I used to meet with 2 or 3 fellows and their wives, oh, 3 or 4 times a week at night in one of their homes. Humble people. Some of them hadn't even gone through grade school, but they loved the Lord. And one night, I remember, either a Tuesday or a Wednesday night, we were studying the Word of God, and the host said, the man in whose home we had the meeting said, you know, I think it'd be wonderful if we just remembered the Lord tonight. And he went to the kitchen and came out with a glass of grape juice and some bread, and we got on our knees. I'll never forget him when he came to me. He said, John, as you gave me the bread, this is our Lord's body, which was broken for you. When he came round with the glass of grape juice, he said, John, this is a memorial of what Jesus Christ did for you in shedding his blood to cleanse you from all sin. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It wasn't in a church. It wasn't on Lord's Day. either Tuesday or Wednesday night, the first time I ever really took communion, or was at the Lord's table. And the presence of the Lord was there in a very, very wonderful way. You could just sense the presence of Christ as we worshipped Him. We praised and magnified the Savior who could come to this old world of sin and shame to redeem men like me and you. My, what a love. Do this in remembrance of me. This is what He said. As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. I just sincerely hope the next time you come to the Lord's table, you'll come as a worshiper to magnify the One who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then in verse 26, what do we read? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till He come. We show forth the testimony until the Lord Jesus returns for His church, till He comes again in power and great glory. We show forth, we testify to the world, we testify if necessary to angelic beings, we testify that our only hope is centered on Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So we show forth His death till He come. The center of God's love for you and me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Herein is love, not that we love God. He loved us and sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And herein was the love of God was manifested to us, in that He sent His only begotten Son. We might live. The next verse says, to be the propitiation for our sins. God has made all the provision. I don't care who you are, my friend, what your condition is. I know one thing. God has made provision for you and for me to come into His very presence. The way is opened into the presence of God through a new and living way which He consecrated through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. We come with confidence, knowing that He has cleansed us from sin. And we do this until He comes. But then Paul adds this, let us prove ourselves before we come. Listen to it. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many weak, many are sick, many die. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But if we are judged, then we are chastened of the Lord. We should not be condemned with the world. We not only show forth a testimony, but we are to prove ourselves. How we partake, why we partake. I would suggest before you ever come to the Lord's table, if there's something between you and the Lord, you better get it settled. Prove yourself. Examine yourself. If one were to come and eat the bread and drink the wine because they feel themselves worthy of it in themselves, then, my friend, they're eating and drinking unworthily. We come as lost sinners who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We come as worshipers. We recognize He's the only Savior, and His work at the cross is the only means of redemption. And if I just take the Lord's, go to the Lord's table, and eat the bread and drink the wine as a mere right to go through, my friend, be careful. I say be careful, because he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What do you mean by that? I recognize that the bread and the wine typify for us his wonderful, perfect, complete work at the cross for lost men and women, that only on the ground of the shed blood of Christ can we be redeemed, set free, emancipated from sin and death and hell. Only through the precious blood of Christ can we stand in the presence of God acceptably, covered with the righteousness of Christ. Oh, the wonder of it all. And yet, I am sure that the Lord chastens, oftentimes chasten his people, because of this very thing. Listen to it. For this cause, verse 30, the reason for the chasten, for the chastisement, we are not eating worthily. And what is the chastisement for this cause? Many are weak. Many are sick among you. And many sleep. What do you mean? Many die? Do you mean to tell me, sir, that sometimes sickness comes upon God's people because they do not eat worthily at the Lord's table? That's just what that's what Paul is saying. That's what I'm saying. You see, and I've said this before over this program, but I'm going to repeat it. There are three grounds for sickness. I'm talking about God's people. Three grounds whereby a Christian can be sick. I can be sick because of my own folly. If I eat something that I know I shouldn't eat, that disagrees with me, and I eat it, then I ought to be sick. I can be sick because of my own folly. I can be sick for the glory of God. I think that's true in John chapter 9, a man born blind, he was blind for the glory of God. If one were to go to the Old Testament, the book of Job, Job was sick for the glory of God. And I can be sick because I come to the Lord's table with the wrong spirit. I don't come to remember him. I don't come to worship him. I don't come to show forth that the ground of my redemption and my salvation is entirely, completely, eternally on the ground of what Christ has done for me. But it also says not only are some sick, but some sleep, some die. You see, friend, it is possible for a Christian to die prematurely. I'm talking about Christians now. A Christian can die because his work is finished. When his work's finished, God takes him home. It's what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting about verse 6 through 8, when he says, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to die. I'm going to be martyred. I've stood before Caesar. And when I stood before Caesar, all forsook me and fled. But the Lord stood by me. I'm about to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. I can die for the glory of God. I would say the 21st chapter of John's Gospel. Well, the Lord said to Peter, Peter, when you get to be old, they're going to take you where you don't want to go. He said this signifying what death he should glorify God. Peter died as a martyr. He died for the testimony's sake. And in this he glorified God. So I can die because my work is finished. I can die because of the glory of God, a martyr's crown. Or I can die because of sinfulness. I can die, for example, in the book of Acts, in chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira came under the judgment of God, and they died. It was a moral issue. They lied. Chapter 5 of Corinthians. Paul delivered a man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul might be saved at the appearing of Christ. Another moral issue. When he come to Timothy, you have some that Paul delivered over to Satan that might learn not to blaspheme. That was a doctrinal issue. In the Epistle of John, chapter 5, about verse 15 on, there's a sin unto death, talking about believers. Now, I do not say you'll make inquiry concerning it. For this cause, many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. You see, the man of the world seems to be getting away with anything. A man says to me, "Why, Mitchell," he said, "I can do what I want to. Where does God come in? I don't suffer." Well, I said, "What you sow, you reap." But God doesn't, you're not a child of God. God only disciplines his own, as you have in Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 6 down through verse 11, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives." God chastens his own children by sickness, by affliction, by tests, by trials. Sometimes he takes them away prematurely in death. But for the unsaved, he seems to be getting, seems, mark what I say, he seems to be getting away with it, but he's not. In the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says, "You heap unto yourselves wrath against the day of wrath." You see, a Christian is judged by God now. An unsaved man is going to be judged one of these days when he stands before God. And all his sin and corruption is piling up wrath against the day of wrath and the righteous judgment of God. I'm quoting Romans 2:5. But today, I've had people say, "Mitchell, why does that woman down there? Now she's a wonderful Christian. And look what she goes through. She's tested and tried. The sorrow that woman has had, yes. She seen God is because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourgeth every son whom he receives. Lest we be condemned with the world." Notice that. "Lest we be condemned with the world." He judges us now. The unsaved man is going to come before God and face the wrath and righteous judgment of God. So I'm talking to you, my friend, and you're not a Christian. May I remind you that you one day you've got to stand before God. And even the Lord doesn't punish you today. You're piling up wrath unto the day of wrath, the righteous judgment of God. For a Christian, God takes care of that now and chastens us. Some are sick, some are weakly among you, and many sleep. So I suggest, Christian friend, when you come to the Lord's table, come to worship. Come to adore, to magnify, and to praise him. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.